Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, I want to share with you the commission of the ministry that God gave to Joseph Hedgecock, the founder of Servants of the Lord Ministries, many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts. I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that they never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now, their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That's who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time. Servants of Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him and grow up in Him and be ready for His appearing. Today I'm sharing a message called Expedient. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 23. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm reading verse 23. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. The word expedient in Strong's is number 4851. It comes from two other words. It means to bear together, to contribute. That is literally to collect or to conduce, especially an advantage, to be better or to bring together, or be expedient for good or profitable. Not all challenges are profitable, but can be used by God if you want to grow up spiritually. All those born again by the Spirit have access to grace and truth. John 1 and verse 17. Under the new covenant, captivity itself has been taken captive. Ephesians 4 and verse 8. As He provides a way of escape for those who trust Him with all their heart in complicated situations. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. Trust God with all your heart and you'll be like Christ on this earth, doing the perfect will of God consistently in your own life. The Father is in control and wants to bring many sons to glory. So now if you sin or the devil gets access, you know you've listened to a wrong voice. You are now under the Spirit to learn from your mistakes and not under the law. Romans 6 and verse 14. When something comes together for good at the end, it's a confirmation that you've been obeying the Holy Spirit consistently like Christ did. By making excuses for the flesh, your life will not edify others following Christ. Paul also wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 15 to 18. I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 15. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. Verse 16, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Verse 17, for we being many are one bread and one body, for we all are partakers of that one bread. Verse 18, behold, Israel after the flesh are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar. In the Message Bible, 1 Corinthians 10, 15 to 18 says, I assume I'm addressing believers now who are mature. Draw your own conclusions. When we drink the cup of blessing, aren't we taking into ourselves the blood, the very life of Christ? And isn't it the same with the loaf of bread we break and eat? Don't we take into ourselves the body, the very life of Christ? Because there is one loaf. Our many nesses become oneness. Christ doesn't become fragmented in us. Rather, we become unified in Him. We don't reduce Christ to what we are. He raises us to what He is. That's basically what happened even in old Israel. those who ate the sacrifices offered on God's altar entered into God's action at the altar. To be the Saviour of the world, Jesus had to become like us, give up everything and put his divine nature to the side. He had to be rejected by his own people, endure the cross and die in your place like a criminal publicly. When Jesus gave his life on the cross, the Father raised him from the dead to prove he was not a reprobate. You were born again to be different and do things his way. Being a living sacrifice, Romans 12:1, includes submitting to a corrupt authority, being weak by not reacting and living a life that makes the flesh very uncomfortable. Paul continued in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 19 to 22. This is 1 Corinthians 10. I'm reading verse 19. What say I then? That the idol is anything? Or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? Verse 20. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. Verse 21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Verse 22. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? In the Message Bible, 1 Corinthians 10, 19 to 22 says, do you see the difference? Sacrifices offered to idols are offered to nothing. For what's the idol but a nothing? Or worse than nothing, a minus, a demon. I don't want you to become part of something that reduces you to less than yourself. And you can't have it both ways, banqueting with the master one day and slumming with the devils the next. Besides, the master won't put up with it. He wants us all or nothing. Do you think that you can get off with anything less? Do not let your Christian life drift along by just saying a word of prayer and confessing the same sins again and again in challenging situations. Paul was getting his life from repentance, serving others, and accessing God's grace consistently. The cup of Christ is doing whatever the Father wants in your life, even if it means suffering. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, John 14 and verse 6. The disciples knew this, but Thomas had doubts until he saw the risen Christ. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 7 to 10. This is 2 Corinthians 13, starting in verse 7. Now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. Verse 8. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Verse 9. For we are glad when we are weak, and you are strong. And this also we wish, even your perfection. Verse 10. Therefore I write these things, being absent. Least being present, I should use sharpness according to the power which the Lord has given me to edification and not to destruction. Through repentance, the Corinthians became strong again in the faith after being corrected. They had to be honest, but Paul told them, do no evil, as they did not have the foundation to handle what was coming. If you take up your cross weekly or monthly, or when there's a crisis, you'll not be ready for what is coming either. Paul relied on conviction alone, not to do anything for or against the truth in his own personal life, as he had no confidence in the flesh. Philippians 3 and verse 3. He also had to trust God with all his heart in new areas of his life, by acknowledging God in the details. But to the Corinthians, he appeared like a reprobate. Paul did not diffuse the pressure when tempted by listening to his flesh. Jesus said in John 16, verses 5 to 7. I'm reading John 16, starting in verse 5. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? Verse 6. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your heart. Verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Verse 8. And when he's come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Verse 9. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Verse 10. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Verse 11. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. If you always have to tell a disciple what to do, they are not following Christ. There are no guidelines to follow, and no rights and wrongs. You have to hear, trust, and obey without an opinion. If you want to be a sweet-smelling savior to God, do everything with joy. 2 Corinthians 2, verses 14 and 15. Something that you cannot handle now, you will be able to do it if you keep following Jesus by the Spirit and stay humble. Heaven helps all those who hear his voice are in the right place at the right time, not those who use common sense and reason. No one else can hear his voice for you. Jesus said in John 10, 27. This is John's Gospel, chapter 10. I'm reading verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Are you a sheep or are you a lamb? True disciples recognize Jesus speaking to them personally through the Holy Spirit, and can obey without thinking, John 10 and verse 5. Lambs, however, make noises and bleat all the time because the Holy Spirit is not their comforter. You will make it harder on yourself by not asking God enough questions. It may take time to establish a new habit of hearing and obeying instantly. Science tells us it takes about 3 weeks to break a habit, and about the same time to establish a new one. The greatest habit everyone has before coming to Christ is leaning to his or her own understanding. John wrote in 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 to 5. This is 1 John chapter 5. I'm reading verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Verse 5. Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Decisions not born of God are made by the ungodly, as they do not trust him with all their heart. If the world did believe in God, they would hear his voice consistently and experience a new Father in heaven through repentance, after being born again. Christ overcame the cross in his humanity, and if you believe this with your whole heart, you will stop sinning. You will get the victory by asking God more questions and being led and controlled by the Spirit. Jesus taught in John 14, verse 26 and 27. This is John 14. I'm reading verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The Holy Spirit will not let you forget what you really need to know after reading the Bible. So you don't need to memorize so many verses. If you write out some promises, you would not know what part applies to you personally and deceive yourself based on human reasoning. With God's peace, He will give you precious promises from sound teaching or sentences in anointed messages at the right time by bringing them back to your mind. Abundant revelation is given to those relying on truth and conviction when studying the Bible. When you hear truth, it's never for someone else until it's searched your own life first and you become a consistent doer of the word He brings. The psalmist wrote in the Psalms 119 verses 158 to 160. This is in the Psalms 119 starting in verse 158. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved because they kept not thy word. Verse 159. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. 160. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endures forever. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Psalm 119 and verse 160 says, the sum of your word is truth. The total of the full meaning of all your individual precepts and every one of your righteous decrees endures forever. Treasure the word of truth in your heart personally, like Mary did. Luke chapter 2, verse 19. And write it down to reread later, as it will not spoil. One truth is often like a dot in a notebook puzzle that when connected by the Spirit to other truths, completes a picture of what God wants you to believe with your heart. Study the word of truth, and with patience, you will join the dots. Truth has been available for every generation and is especially needed in the last days. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 11, verses 20 to 23. This is in the book of Romans chapter 11. I'm reading verse 20. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. Verse 21. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Verse 22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which failed severity, but towards thee goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. Verse 23. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. Those who continue in his goodness are ready for the unexpected. God is in control of your education and will make sure you get opportunities to apply what you have ears to hear. You will never be ignorant of sin, and even when you reap the consequences, you will still have a chance to repent deeply by grace afterwards. The root of all unbelief in your life is a lie that you believe to be the truth for the sake of your flesh. You came here to proclaim the goodness of God and offer deep repentance to all those using their minds to come to the truth. You cannot speak about obeying the truth in these last days if you are serving two masters and have no fruit of repentance. We are in a race of faith. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Guarantee your eternal position in glory before someone else takes it from you, willing to learn and use the grace of God in more humble circumstances than you. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. This is Galatians chapter 3. I'm reading verse 3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, and you now made perfect by the flesh? Verse 4. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? The word foolish in Strong's is number 453. It comes from a collection of words meaning unintelligent. By implication, sensual or foolish or unwise. You can start in the Spirit and then listen to your flesh when your life is under some pressure, like the Galatians. You should be working out your salvation in fear and trembling, as your foundation will not survive a period of persecution if it's still weak or missing something. Jesus is coming soon for those who've made themselves ready by hearing God in complicated situations. Revelation 19 and verse 7. Those that count themselves unworthy do so through the lust of the eyes, thinking that this world is not passing away. 2 Peter 3 and verse 3. In the Message Bible, John 16, verses 8 to 11 says, when he comes, he will expose the error of the godless world's view of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He will show them that their refusal to believe in me is their basic sin. That righteousness comes from above, where I am with the Father, out of their sight and control. That judgment takes place as the ruler of this godless world is brought to trial and convicted. Jesus, as I had a head start and a deeper foundation than the rest of the world through the teachings they endured and did not leave because of the hard sayings. Peter recognized that only Jesus had the words of eternal life. John 6, verses 66 to 68. Conviction and correction is a blessing. And if you don't see it that way, you need eye salver and deceive yourself with earthly gain. Revelation 3, verses 17 to 18. Jesus continued in John 16 and verse 13. This is John's Gospel, chapter 16. I'm reading verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you the things to come. The Holy Spirit was given to the disciples to guide them into all truth over a period of time, giving them an opportunity to repent when convicted with the gift of eternal life. John 10, verse 28. You also have the words of eternal life now, whenever you are convicted of sin, judgment, and righteousness, so you can repent of thinking when you should be listening to his voice. This process will only be unpleasant if you resist. The words of eternal life are not a doctrine or some religious creed that you recite. The Holy Spirit today is faithfully convicting everyone of where they are now and where they will end up if they keep making excuses. We read in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. This is in the book of Genesis chapter 3. I'm starting in verse 1. Now the serpent was made more subtle than any of the beasts of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Verse 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Verse 3. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. The word subtle in Strong's is from a Hebrew word, and in the passive it means cunning, usually in a bad sense, crafty, prudent, or subtle. God gave the devil clever abilities to convince Adam and Eve that God is always right. But through pride in his heart, he rebelled and used his subtlety to build his own kingdom instead. Eve was drawn away by the lust of her flesh to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that Adam was told not to take from. She sinned through the lust of the eyes, 1 John 2 and verse 16. Looking that is not controlled by the Spirit is dangerous. In Christ, you cannot sin unless you are first drawn away by the lust of your flesh and resist conviction. James 1 and verse 14. For you to make any decisions with your own mind, you have the pride of life if you're born again. Adam and Eve started hiding from the truth and conviction when they experienced God's holiness for the first time. Genesis 3 and verse 8. The Holy Spirit is here now to help all those who want to be perfect through conviction and correction. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 3. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Those who repent deeply get the peaceable fruit of righteousness, so that later no one would deceive them. Hebrews 12 and verse 11. If you don't have the full knowledge of something that God wants you to have, it will bring confusion, fear, and doubt. Doctrines in the church are being corrupted through those with a confidence in the flesh. Do not try to understand his word with your natural mind, as truth is spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. As you will believe lies again. Listen and follow his instructions carefully through conviction. As you may say something later, God did not say, like Eve did when she was tempted by the devil. The devil feeds doubts about God in areas where you have not studied and hardened your heart to the truth because of your unbelief. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 25, verses 24 to 30. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, starting in verse 24. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I know thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering now where thou hast not strawed. Verse 25. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast which is thine. Verse 26. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Verse 27. Thou oughtest therefore have to put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Verse 28. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him that hath 10 talents. Verse 29, for unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he has. Verse 30, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In the Message Bible, Matthew 25, verses 24 to 30 says, The servant given 1,000 said, Master, I know you have high standards and hate careless ways, that you demand the best and make no allowances for error. I was afraid I might disappoint you, so I found a good hiding place and secured your money. Here it is, safe and sound, down to the last cent. The master was furious. That's a terrible way to live. It's criminal to live cautiously like that. If you knew I was after the best, why did you do less than the least? The least you could have done would have been to invest the sum with the bankers, or at least I would have gotten a little interest. Take the thousands and give it to the one who risked the most, and get rid of this play it safe who won't go out on a limb. Throw him into utter darkness. Leaders in the church today that do not use grace and truth are wicked and lazy servants. The devil has no authority, but can easily control those who still listen to common sense and reason for the sake of their flesh. God has high standards, but he has provided the best teacher for you to repent and stop sinning. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 34. You will experience grace by humbling yourself. But if you do not grow up by responding to conviction, grace stops. When the same bad fruit reappears again under the same amount of pressure, then you know that you are becoming spiritually lazy. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 to 4. This is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, starting in verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Verse 2. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Verse 3. That they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Verse 4. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. With grace increasing, this is the greatest time to be alive for those working out their salvation in fear and trembling. Those seeking God will find the reason why they came out of his presence in complicated situations and be given grace to repent deeply. Matthew 7, verses 7 to 8. Anyone can see darkness is increasing in this world through the love of money. The wise, ready to meet the bridegroom, live by every word that they have ears to hear. Those with a confidence in the flesh are like Cain, 1 John 3 and verse 12. They are unprepared because they do not have a pleasing relationship with him by the Spirit, Romans 8 and verse 8. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12, I'm reading 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, 1 Timothy 6 says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of the eternal life to which thou were summoned, and for which you confess the good confession of faith before many witnesses. Church leaders trapped in a guilted prison today are a source of unbelief for others that say it is impossible to live the Christian life in this world. The word fight used for Timothy by Paul is the same word Jesus used in Luke 22 and verse 13 for us to strive and enter before it was too late. The devil wants to use your life to hinder others coming to the truth. Do not just confess your sin and stop there. 1 John 1, 9. If you have a desire to know and experience God more, repent deeply with grace and truth. Peter wrote in Romans chapter 16, verses 24 to 26. This is in the book of Romans chapter 16, I'm reading verse 24. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Verse 25, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept since the world began. Verse 26, but now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations, for the obedience of faith. The word establish in Strong's is number 4741. It comes from some other words, mean to set fast. That is to literally to turn resolutely in a certain direction, or to confirm, or fix, or establish, or set, or strengthen. The prophets spoke about repentance and keeping his commands when others were departing from the faith. Sin is abounding, and when it does, his grace also abounds. Those strong in the grace, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 1, can do all things. If you keep following Jesus, you will be established through the power that is available through the true gospel. Those with a spiritual education on the narrow way with abounding grace are a testimony against the wicked and lazy, not working out their salvation in fear and trembling. Philippians 2 and verse 12. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2 verses 9 and 10. This is 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm reading verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Verse 10, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. The foolish believe they can understand with their physical ears. Matthew 13:13-15. There is no shortcut to holiness without conviction for those who want to be kings and priests of God. The lazy want a download of revelation, but those that believe in the gospel of Christ are on the narrow way. The faithful know that what they are learning now under pressure, through conviction, step by step, will qualify them to rule the nations. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 10 to 13. This is 1 Thessalonians 3. I'm reading verse 10. Night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Verse 11. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. Verse 12, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love, one toward another and toward all men, even as we do towards you. Verse 13, to the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. God is at work night and day. Your faith can be perfected before Jesus comes, or before you die, whichever comes first, if you believe. You can be born again and not be a saint. God is using complicated situations in the last days to help those thinking about their earthly lives see their selfish hearts and repent so that his love can then flow through them instead. To have his love flowing through us is a privilege. You will not be abounding in love without God's chastening. Jesus taught in Matthew 6, verse 31 to 34. This is Matthew chapter 6. I'm starting in verse 31. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? Verse 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Doubts come from thinking about your earthly life and well-being. Your affection should be on eternal rewards for faithfulness, not earthly things. Colossians 3, verse 2. You can become a master builder like Paul. Seek his kingdom and his righteousness first, because when you try to add it later, you'll have to make a fresh start. Revelation and truth cannot be put on top of a crooked foundation, serving two masters, keeping your flesh comfortable. Only the lazy do not pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness in complicated situations. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 11. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 5, verses 4 to 10. I'm reading Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 4. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whatsoever of you are justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. Verse 5. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Verse 6. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. Verse 7. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Verse 8. This persuasion comes not of him that called you. Verse 9. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Verse 10. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he be. Always be ready to go without, and do more with less effort. Paul always had a hope to live and serve God acceptably under more pressure by acknowledging God in all his ways. Romans 14 and verse 18. Paul called the converts in Galatia foolish for accepting circumcision just so that they could trade with the Jews. He suspected this troubling may have come through a fear of renewed persecution. By not pursuing righteousness in complicated situations and accepting any outward righteousness, you are falling from grace just for the sake of your flesh. James wrote in James chapter 5, verses 7, I'm reading to verse 20. This is James chapter 5, starting in verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth, and have long patience for it until he receives the early and latter rain. Verse 8. Be also patient, and establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draws near. Verse 9. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge stands before the door. Verse 10. Take, my brethren, the prophets, who spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Verse 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is pitiful and of tender mercy. Verse 12. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, nor by earth, nor by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation. Verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Verse 14. If any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Verse 15. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Verse 16. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Verse 17. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Verse 18. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Verse 19. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him. Verse 20. Let him know that he which converts the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. James was telling the church to establish their hearts for the coming of the Lord. He explained rain was coming that would germinate the good seed lost in the hearts of the converted Jews thinking about Jerusalem. It's never too late to repent deeply and seek healing if you're offended at God. Under pressure, you become spiritually dry if you don't ask enough questions, because you have the Holy Spirit in you if you're born again. Humble circumstances are a promotion designed to help you ask more questions. James 1 and verse 9. The new converts needed to confess their faults because they were thinking instead of listening. The truth is, God is speaking all the time, and we just need to hear, trust, and obey. Someone that is converted and sees the foolishness of thinking when they should be listening, James 1 and verse 19, will prevent an rampant outgrowth of wickedness in their own lives. James 1 and verse 21. Everything done from the arm of the flesh will end up in the fire. Christ died so that you could stop making the decision with your own mind and just trust and obey like a little child. Matthew 18 and verse 3. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8, I'm reading to verse 14. This is 1 Peter chapter 5, starting verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Verse 11. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Verse 12. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. Verse 13, the church that is in Babylon, elected together with you, salutes you. And so does Marcus, my son. Verse 14, greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you, all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Those drunk with their own plans and ideas are not skilled in the word of righteousness and mere babes. Hebrews 5:11. Peter was explaining to the converted Jews, scattered in the persecution, how Silas, or Silvanus, was a faithful brother living in the heart of a pagan city, Babylon. He even had time to pray faithfully for them. Silas had not been contaminated because he was acknowledging God in all his ways. Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 7. This is in the book of Proverbs chapter 3. I'm reading verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. You can depart from evil yourself without casting out any demons. Many leaders will tell you God gave you a brain and expects you to use it to make decisions yourself. Change your confession if you want excellent results spiritually. You can be trained in the devil's backyard if you make no excuses. Be strengthened and establish the right kind of fruit with a deep foundation. Your bearing fruit in complicated situations is what brings glory to God. John 15 and verse 8. If you want a copy of these notes, please write and answer the following questions and send your answers to me. Number 1. Tell me in your own words what expedient means. Number 2. When you realize this world is passing away, what was your first response to all this, if any? And what is your response now? Number 3. In what ways can evil situations be used to redeem the time in your spiritual life? Please give 3 examples from your own life, if possible. If you want to hear get to know and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start, make him Lord and live in the light. And I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. If you really want to submit to the Spirit by regular repentance, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock. You need to make sure you get on the narrow path. The broad road that leads to destruction looks good and is signposted heaven this way. Many well-meaning, good people attending church are on this road. I believe this book will help you. The Guilted Prison Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. To grow up in the kingdom of God, you must become a living sacrifice. Paul's testimonies of freedom from sin and the devil through abiding Christ was being taught in all the churches. Many saw a demonstration of God's grace. Those who believed and accepted the truth were set free. Has the truth of the kingdom of God now reached your heart and affected the way you live every day? Are you still looking for some shortcut to holy, some seminar? The Holy Spirit has all the answers you need if you want to grow up spiritually. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for those who've taken the time to listen. I pray that you will use these verses for them to study and to search and go deeper with you. I just pray right now that, Father, that they will learn what is the most important thing in their lives, and they will feel that they're on the narrow way from now on, in Jesus' name. You can find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or via a link to a website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. God bless you, and thank you for listening.